who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Father, we're so thankful to be here for your many blessings. Lord, I pray for a special anointing this morning. That your Holy Spirit would have free reign in this place with every heart, with every mind. Lord, that I would just be a vessel that you would use this morning. Lord, we lift up Samantha as she'll be teaching our children this morning, that you would just speak through her also. May your will be done now in every service here. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I don't have any cool things this morning like last week with the waters and all that. But last week I talked about drinking of the living water and the glow that Moses had of spending time alone with God. And had a couple bottles up here. One looked like good water, one didn't. But this week I kind of was trying to live out my message from last week. When I preach, it's not just for y'all. It's God working on me too. And it's kind of funny how this week I'm not going to lie and say I was perfect and spent all this time alone with God like I said we should all do last week. But it is kind of, I had it more at the forefront of my thoughts about spending time alone with God. And God began to speak to me this week, and it was a really rough week. when God begins to speak and we have to act in obedience, Sometimes it's not always easy. So we're going to begin in Luke chapter 12, and the title of the message is "Let Go of Greed." So you can imagine what kind of conversations me and the Lord's had this week, okay? And so letting go of greed. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. It says, "And then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" Well, when I was thinking about this and all kinds of greed, you know, most of the time when we think about greed, what do we think about? We think about money or even possessions. But are we not sometimes greedy with even our time, with our talents and abilities? We don't want to share. We get off work, and what do we want to do? We want to go home and have our time, take care of our things, and do what we want to do. Do we really want to help people? Do we really want to serve people? Do we really? And so it says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Some of y'all may be fantastic givers financially, but you are selfish with your time. Or some of you may be fantastic givers of your time, but you're selfish with your money. You know, there's all different ways that we can be greedy, and it's something that I've always struggled with in different areas of my life, because it's hard to just let go of stuff sometimes. And he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" That's the American dream right now, isn't it? Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. None of us want to work. We all are ready to retire and just kick back and do nothing. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." As I was reading this, and a verse came to my mind, Proverbs 13:22, and it says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." I believe it's important that we're not frivolous with our money. I believe that it's important that we do prepare. It's not a sin to not prepare. Here, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's something. That's an abundance. But you see what he's saying here is that when you're not rich towards God, see, there has to be that balance of still being rich towards God. If God says give, you give. You're not so greedy, you're not so full of it that you're thinking, well, if I give this away, if I sow into that, if I help this person with that, then I won't have any time for myself, or I won't have any money for myself someday. And does that make sense, church, or not? It's not that we're not to plan for the future, but it's that, are we rich towards God? Are we rich towards the things of God? Or are we so concerned with greed and with ourselves that we don't even consider being abundantly rich towards God and His things? And please understand me, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talents. I'm talking about your ability. Are you rich towards the things of God? If you have a knack for fixing things, you ought to be the first person when you hear something's broke at the church to say, Pete, I'll come and do it. If you're financially stable and you hear about a family in need groceries, you might say, Pete, I'll give. Or if you have the time, I'll go to the grocery store and buy it for them. You see what I'm saying? But how many of us are holding on to everything so tight? We're so concerned about our lives and the abundance of our possessions. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You know, most of y'all probably won't remember this. But when I was reading that, I was thinking about the greed, which is idolatry, and that's image or image worship, and how many people worship in images, and they worship with our social media and everything. They want to be put out there and want people to basically worship them, and how greedy we are, and the idolatry in the image. And I thought of a commercial from the early 90s. Now, some of y'all weren't even born in the early 90s, but there was this famous tennis player, and his name just left me. He had all this big hair, and he's bald now. He was married to Brooke Shields. Y'all know who I'm talking about? I can't think of his name. Andre Agassi. That was it. And he had this commercial for a camera, and he's like all dressed in his swag and everything, and playing tennis. And you know, he was on all these posters and everything. And the commercial was, image is everything. And it's this image that he portrayed of being this awesome tennis player and this awesome star. And how many of us were that way? That's what we live for, is our image. And our image consists in what we have. And the older I get, the less I worry about it. I'm not saying I don't ever worry about it, but I remember when, I'm showing my age again. These jeans, these Guess jeans. Does anybody have Guess jeans, you know? And they had the little thing on the pocket. And so I had to have the Guess jeans. And then it went to another kind of jeans and another kind of jeans. And then, you know, you got to keep up with the style and the latest thing because you're so worried about your image. You're worried about yourself, your greed, and it just pulls in you. We are to put those things to death. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money, you hear this? Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. And I think about how many of us live paycheck to paycheck, and we work and we work and we labor. But when our focus is always on money, you're not ever going to have enough. Hey, you guys look at the grocery store. You go to the gas station and inflation's sky high. And right now the money that you had a year ago ain't worth as much as the money that you have today. And that's what Satan wants us to focus upon. Because when we're focused upon money, when we're focused upon things, we're never going to be satisfied. We're always going to want more and more and more and more. Greed with money, with possessions, with time. Romans 13:8. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow men has fulfilled the law, the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in the one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfillment of the law. And do this, understand the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I was reading this because I thought, let no debt remain outstanding except for the debt of love. We're closer today than we was yesterday to meeting Jesus. We're closer today than we was last week to meeting Jesus. Wake up. What are you living your lives for? What is it that brings you a moment of satisfaction? What is it that you're striving for in your everyday life? Have you woke up? Are you still trying to just gratify the sinful desires? One of the sinful desires is greed. How many of us are living each and every day controlled by this nature, and it consumes us. We want more. We want this. We don't want to give of ourselves. We don't want to give of our time. We don't want to help people. James 4:17 says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So the Lord spoke to me this week. And when I say the Lord spoke to me, have you ever had a thought pop in your head? And you think, was that God telling me that, or was that something else? Can I tell you something? That if the thought pops in your head, followed by a whole bunch of scripture, more than likely it's the Lord speaking to you about something. So this week I heard something from someone just average talking. They're just telling me something. And they told me something that really bothered me. And the Lord began to say verse after verse after verse about being able to help out the situation. I'm going, but Lord, I don't know. And then this verse came to my mind. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. Well, hang on, Lord. To just not do something is sin? Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sin. Hang on, Lord. And you begin to argue with the Lord. You begin to say, but wait a minute. And I was trying to decide whether to read this next part. I'm going to go ahead and read it. 5, it says, now listen, you rich people. That's all of us. That's you. Even if you're the poorest person in this room, you're rich by the worldly standards. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. What did we just read about? The hour is near. Wake up. We're closer than we used to be. And now he's saying we are in the last days. The wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury. Okay, this is why I wanted to read this next part. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the In the day of slaughter, you have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. How many of us, how many Americans could that describe us? We have lived on this earth for luxury and self-indulgence. We live every day for self. We work hard for self. We want to get that new car. We want to build that bigger house. We want to take that vacation. We want to eat steak and not, you know, spam. I mean, you know, you work hard. You work hard because you want to indulge yourself. You want to make sure you have plenty stored up, like the rich man whose crop increased, and we keep building bigger barns and barns and barns. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. That's the next verse that popped in my head. Actually, that might have been the first verse that popped in my head about the borrower is a servant to the lender. And then anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sin. And so all these verses are popping in my head, and I'm going... Now, you know, I wanted to spend time alone with God because I wanted the glow that we talked about last week. I wanted the glow. I wanted the radiance. But now, Lord, you're convicting me about stuff. You're telling me to do stuff that I'm just not real comfortable with. If y'all want to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to be here for pretty much the rest of the service. This story came to my mind in the midst of all that, and I had to look it up because I wasn't exactly sure where it was. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You know, Jesus... We talked about last week how he would often get away to pray, to seek the Lord, you know. And I should have looked it up, but it didn't pop in my head till just now. But I believe it was after John the Baptist was murdered and Jesus heard about it. He withdrew to get away. He needed time alone with God, and the crowds followed. And I think that's where he fed them. But he didn't turn the crowds away. So in his... In his sorrow, he still served. Here it's saying that in their most severe trial, in their extreme poverty, welled up rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. See, sometimes we can get stirred up, right? You hear a good sermon or something and or these commercials and they show, you know, they need wells dug or whatever and your emotions can get stirred up and all at once you think, I need to write a check. I need to give to that. But here they weren't being, pushed. It was on their own. It was on their own. And then listen to this verse. I got this underlined in my Bible. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They thought it was a privilege to be able to give. To give of their abilities, to give of their time, to give of their money, to give of their talents. Do we consider it a privilege to be able to give to the Lord's work in whatever way He's called you? Or has it become a burden because we're so greedy with ourself and our time and our wants and our desires? They pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing. Verse 5, And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you do, that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not preaching at y'all this morning. I'm sharing with you what the Lord was dealing with me on. You know, there's been times in my life that I was so willing to give. And then there's been other times that it's like, I don't want to go up to the church today and work on that. And put it off. I don't want to go do this and put it off. Y'all, I don't know about you, but I want to be a person that excels in everything. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Not for pride, not for boasting, but so when God looks down at my life, when Jesus looks down at my life, they say, there's my obedient servant. And what He's given me to do, that I will do it with all my heart. Verse 8. I am not commanding you, but I want you to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For if you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish this work so that you, your eager willingness to do it may be matched by completion of it according to your means. So listen to this. For if your willingness is there, the gift is acceptable to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So you know what that's saying? If you got $5 to give, if you got 5 minutes to stop and help somebody, if you just got a little bit, but the willingness is there, it's acceptable. And if you got $5 million to give, or you're retired and you got all day that you can help people, but it's the willingness. Is the willingness there to give? Is it the willingness to say, God, here's my life. May you do with me what you want. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed, but there may be equality. At the present time, you have your plenty will supply their need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. You know, there's been times in my life that I needed help. There's been times in my life that I needed help and nobody was there. There's been times in my life that I needed help and I had more help than I knew what to do with. There's been times that I felt like I was supposed to go do something and I didn't do it. And there was other times that I felt like I was supposed to go do something and I went and did it and really it seemed almost meaningless, but I was just being obedient. But how many times have we pleaded for the privilege of giving of ourselves to the Lord? Do we say, God, this is such a privilege that I get to stop and help this motor's broke down on the side of the road. This is such a privilege that I paid for that person's groceries in Walmart that they didn't even know it was coming. God, it was such a privilege to go to work day at the church. Thank you for that. And it was hot and we got sweaty, but Lord, we served. I'm going to pick on Adam. I don't ever pick on Adam. I'm going to pick on Adam since his parents are here. There's a few years ago that when the floods came, I think it was 2018, and all these houses had been flooded, and there was a man that I knew, and his whole house was ruined. And some of us men got together, and some of the young men, some of the older men, and we went up to help this guy. And I remember that morning Adam telling us how I think he'd had a busy week. He was going to college. He was doing, and he said, you know, I really didn't want to even get up and come. But I told Brooke I was gonna come, so I came. And we worked all day putting up sheetrock. I was glad Adam was there because I didn't know much. Him and Mike, they were And anyway, we worked all day for this guy. I think we sheetrocked the whole house, didn't we? I think we got the whole house sheetrocked that one day. And by the end of the day, we were laughing and we had so much fun. And I'm pretty sure Adam was, I'm so glad I came. You know, he went from that morning, he had all this other stuff to do. He'd had a busy week, but he knew the right thing to do. And he went, and by the end of the day, we'd worked hard, but we had so much fun just getting to know each other, working hard. But most importantly, we helped a man that was in need. This house had been ruined, and we showed him God's love. See, that's the thing, is sometimes, church, we don't want to do it. That flesh cries out, I don't want to. But when we're obedient and we let go and we say, it's a privilege for me to give of myself. It's a privilege for me to give of my time. It's a privilege for me to give of whatever it is. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, how many of us say we're lacking in an area of our life? Maybe it's in friends. Maybe it's in, and it seems like nobody cares about us. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's in financial. Maybe it's in time. When was the last time you gave and allowed God to work? When was the last time you were just obedient? And I was thinking about the how they would catch monkeys. Do y'all remember? Have you guys heard how they catch monkeys? And you know I looked it up to make sure it was right. But back way long ago, they would hollow out a coconut, and they would put a banana inside the coconut, and then they would just leave a small opening, and the monkeys would come up and smell the banana, and they'd reach in and grab the banana, and they were trapped. Because they couldn't pull and the monkey would sit there the whole time because it wouldn't let go of that banana. They still catch monkeys that way today. They said that they use different kinds of glass jars and different kind of cages, and they'll make it where the monkey's hand, little bitty opening where the monkey's hand can go through and get the banana, but then it refuses to let go of that banana and it's trapped. You know, some of us, that's the way we are with our things, with our lives, with our time, with our money, with our abilities. We're holding on so tightly that we think we got a hold of it, but it's actually got a hold of us. And we refuse to let go of our desires, of our wants, of our dreams. Is there anything right now that the Lord's been telling you that you've been greedy with? Y'all, this was not a fun message. Last week was a whole lot more fun with the water and all that. And after the Lord spoke to me about this on Tuesday on another issue, on Friday, He was speaking to me about something else from 4 or 5 years ago that was more personal to me. And I've been in torment about it. And I come home and I told Crystal, I said, I think this is what we got to do. And it's not an easy decision, and sometimes it's going to cost us a lot. But I'd rather it cost me a lot now and be obedient to what God's telling me to than to be a disobedient and in rebellion and in sin. I want to let go of some stuff in my life that's had a hold of me. I want you to let go of some stuff in your life that's had a hold of you. I don't know what it is. Like I said, this ain't just about money. Ain't just. That's good, proper language there. It is not just about money. But is there something that you're holding on to so tight that you're like that banana and it's got a, and that monkey with that banana and it's got a hold of you? And maybe this morning God's going to deal with you on it, and it might be difficult. It might be stirring up some memories from the past like it did on me. Some things from years ago that you need to go back and you need to make right. But how awesome would it be if we were like this church that said, what a privilege. What a privilege for me to be able to serve. What a privilege for me to be able to give. Last verse, Matthew 25:21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. This just popped in my mind, but Pastor Rick Warren, I've heard him talk before about how blessed he's been with books and book sales, and I think he's one of the top selling authors, if not the top selling author in America, and in The Purpose Driven Life, he wrote that and everything, but he has talked before about the only reason why he believes he's had so much success is because he was tried and he was tested, and God saw that he could be faithful with what he had. I think he gives away almost everything. Helps others. You know, maybe we're lacking because God says, I don't know if I can trust you yet. You've not been faithful with the little bit that I've given you. But how awesome would it be this week if you said, God, I want to be that faithful servant that you can trust to put in charge of more. Whether it's more time, whether it's more money, whether it's more ability, that God, you can trust me and I will use it to bring honor and glory to you. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, may you deal with every heart in this room if there's something that we've been holding on to so tightly and we refuse to let go. May this be the morning that we would let go of it. Father, that each of us in our own way, if we struggle with greediness, Lord, you know every man, every woman in this room struggle. And I pray right now that you would be setting us free, that if there's areas of our life that we need to give more, there's areas of our life that we need to repent of. Lord, I don't believe that this message was just for me this week. I believe that the American dream has destroyed many of your believers because we hold on so tightly. May we let go this morning and do your will. No matter what it is, may we do your will. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.
Up your heart and carry it to healing hands.
I was just thinking that might have been 2019. It was the year of the floods, but I don't want to rob anybody's blessing, so I'm not going to call anybody's name, but it is something I was just reminded of, is the backside of our hallway over here several years ago, it needed to be painted real bad. The boards were starting to bow and everything, and so some people come up and they painted that whole thing on the outside. Got it all looking nice. And within a few months, we put siding up. And I was just thinking, man, they did all that hard work. And then it's just covered up like that. But I thought, you know what? God remembers. God remembers all the hard work you've done, even if it's covered up. Even if nobody else notices, God knows. God knows your heart. If the willingness is there, it's acceptable. That's where I've had to ask God, help me. Sometimes I've given even when the willingness wasn't there. Help my heart to be that willing giver in every way. Peaches in the back. Thank you, John, and your family for bringing them again. This is the last of them. And so If you want some peaches, help yourself. Some figs back there also. And if y'all will remember Tom in your prayers, he texted me in the middle of the week. You know, they hadn't been here in a few weeks. He just found out he's got COVID. Said the first time he's ever had it. He's really praying that Sharon does not get it. You know, and so y'all remember Tom and his family. So have a blessed week.